Right now, though, Dr. Dan Dyker, President of the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, is with me. We're going to be discussing an article that appeared in the Jerusalem Post today, talking about increased pressure on Israel, the fact that Iran is escalating on all fronts, Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, Iraq, all at the same time. Dr. Dyker, thank you so much for being with us on Chai FM.
Pleasure as always, Howard.
So this one is Simon, not Howard.
Oh, but, Simon.
No. It's all good.
I couldn't see you. Terrific.
So question to you, Doc. Why now? And is, in fact, the Jerusalem Post contention correct that Iran is leveraging more pressure against Israel on all fronts? I thought that they had been significantly retarded in their ability to do so.
Well, you're very right, Simon. The Islamic Republic capabilities had been severely degraded in the first 4 or 5 weeks of the war. The president of the United States had taken a decision to try to intermix or intersperse the type of Trumpist art of the deal, high pressure diplomacy.
Yeah.
Or we would call it surrender diplomacy, and try to achieve America's strategic goals through that combination of military kinetic destruction of the regime ballistic missile capability, as well as their nuclear production capability, storage of ammunition and fissile material, and I think he overestimated the American ability to do that, as we've seen. And in this, I think the Jerusalem Post article was quite accurate. You've seen a rather extraordinary resilience of the Iranian regime over this last 3.5 month period. And I think it came as a surprise to the Americans. It did not come as a surprise to the Israelis.
I was listening to a podcast a little earlier today, truly one of the podcasts that give me a framework to understand what is happening in the Middle East. It's Chaviv Reteg Gur. I find he gives a framework which is very, very, very helpful. And he mentioned something that really made me sit up and take note. He said, how on earth can it be that Iran, who sits on some of the world's largest energy reserves, yet its per capita GDP is being compared with that of Haiti? A failed state on every single measurable. So the question has to be then, why on earth would a regime with that kind of natural wealth choose to impoverish its own people in order to fund a multi-front war against Israel?
Well, that's a great question you're asking, but we're asking it in the context of Western rational thinking. Mm. I mean, this is this regime is an apocalyptic messianic regime that has absolutely no problem in mass murdering tens of thousands of its own children and women in order to survive, and their survival is in service of the reemergence of what they call the hidden imam or the Mahdi. In their own language, which is this messianic figure, Simon, in occultation, that they are determined and committed and religiously dedicated to causing its reappearance. Now, all of this sounds like hocus pocus and witchcraft.
Yeah.
But in fact, this is what this regime is built on. This is what this regime was founded upon. And it is, and this regime, as the former great professor Bernard Lewis of Princeton University used to say, they want the shortcut to heaven, so they don't care about dying as martyrs, as shahidim. This is their goal is to destroy the Jewish state as a function of their belief that the Jewish state, Israel, represents the West in the Middle East. And they call Israel we've heard this before, the little Satan, the United States, the big Satan. And they're absolutely religiously committed to achieving their goal. That is why they are a failed state. They don't have food, which they import. They can't move out their oil, which they export to China. China is the biggest customer one of the biggest customers of Iranian oil, and as well as to customers around the world. They simply can't get the oil exported, and they cannot import goods and services And particularly foodstuffs and desalinated water, and so they really are a failing state. Now, I will say this: there is what's called an Islamic resistance economy, which means that the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, their family and friends are in the meantime taken care of by black economic facilitation, where they have their own sort of sub-economy to keep their own forces going. However, that will run out as well. And when people in the 150,000 IRGC forces are not getting their monthly salary slips, that will turn against the regime as well. That's what President Trump is banking on, in bankrupting this regime and causing collapse, its implosion.
I guess you've put your finger on exactly my problem, the fact that I am unable to see this particular issue other than through my own personal lens. And the lack of logic is just not working for me. I don't understand how they are so totally and utterly unaccountable to their own people. I don't understand how they don't need to justify to 90 million Iranians pouring billions of dollars of support into Hezbollah, the Houthis and other proxies, while their own people are hungry. It's just, there's a disconnect for me.
You know what? You represent millions of people in the West, you know, in South Africa, in the West as well, because it is completely outside our universe of thinking and moral structure. And it is also, by the way, outside the universe of the majority of Iranian people. The majority of the Iranian people are pro-Democrat, pro-West, pro-America, and even many of them are even very supportive of Israel. And that is what is actually what you have just mentioned now, Simon, is exactly the type of protest that brought hundreds of thousands, if not several million, into the streets of cities across the Islamic Republic. Protesting and demonstrating exactly what you mentioned now. And that is why, and believe it or not, the Iranian regime just opened fire on these people in the ultimate expression of evil. So this is a regime. This is exactly why this regime must go, because it is a threat not only to 90 million Iranians, but it is a threat to the global community. There's no question about it. They will use nuclear weapons that they are on the road to obtaining right now. They have 60% enriched uranium, which is a hop, skip, and a jump, about 11 weeks away from weapons-grade uranium, with which they can make a nuclear device. And I would go on record as saying they will use that nuclear weapon against American installations, against their own Arab neighbors, by the way, across the Middle East, as we've seen them assault them in the last period. Yeah.
Why? Is it theological? I mean, is this a zero-sum game?
Theological.
Is it binary?
Zero-sum game. It's a zero-sum game. It's theological. It is the absence of everything that we in the West understand in terms of moral clarity Western thinking, Western Judeo-Christian thinking. It is completely in opposition to everything we understand. And this is why so many people in the United States are against the war. They oppose the war. They do not understand the imminent, acute, and a threat that is upon them. And just to share one little moment with you, you know, the Iranian regime is the number one terror master in Latin America. They are swarming throughout the Latin American continent. Maduro, the dictator who was arrested by American forces in that lightning operation, brought back to New York to stand trial, not only for narco traffic, not only for drug trafficking, he was the terror master holding the headquarters of the IRGC in Latin America. And that's in Venezuela. That's right outside the Caribbean. That's right outside the back door of Miami. So this is a very much an acute and imminent threat to the United States, which I would suggest. I've actually just written a report on this for jcfa.org, which is the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, which I head, that the Trump administration had not made enough of a convincing case to the American people over the months in advance of the war in order to make them as aware as I think our conversation hopefully may be raising this issue of the immediacy of the Iranian nuclear and ballistic threat and international terror threat, by the way, across many continents. That ultimately will be used against the people, first and foremost, the Israelis and the Americans.
Dr. Dan Diker, president of the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs. We have to leave it there. I'm out of time, but thank you for making that so totally intelligible, because boy, oh boy, to me at times it seems as if it isn't.